Do you trust me?
No.
Well, we got some work to do, guys.
See, but you can work on it.
You can. And today we are going to talk about how to have patients trust you a little bit more, how to gain their trust, how to keep their trust. Yeah. Things we find important, or tricks, I guess you could say. I don't know.
Tell me kind of some things that we do. Really? Some people that commented.
Yes.
We'll kind of bring those up as well.
Yes.
So let's jump right in.
Let's go.
The PTA Podcast with your hosts, Ken
and Laura. Thanks again for joining for another exciting episode. It wasn't even recording yet.
Well, they're missing your beatboxing then.
It wasn't even beatboxing this time. It was a little tune.
All right, so getting into trust.
Lack of.
And gaining of. Both, I guess.
The positive person and the negative person.
I am neutral.
Uh-huh. No.
My voice says it all.
For real, though, we are, like we talked about, talking about trust and gaining patients' trust and why that is important and how we can, tips that we kind of talked about and are going or to
kind of like what we do to kind of gain our patients' trust.
So I'll start with mine. Like, my biggest thing is being a listener to the patient. A lot of times when they go into the doctor's office or just in general the medical field, we're taught to listen to keywords and then kind of go from there. When sometimes with that, a patient doesn't feel like they're fully being listened to or understand or acknowledged. And so, like, really listening to the patient and acknowledging how they feel can go a long way. Like, if I feel like you're actually taking into concern what I'm saying, like, I'm going to trust you more automatically. And this is also from my own point of view of being a patient. I can tell you right now, I've walked into places and I've heard certain things and I'm like, yeah, not for me. I don't trust it. Or, like, I've had other PTAs work on me and I'm like, yeah, I don't trust at all what you're saying.
Like, you're just not being heard.
Yeah, like, or I'll come in and I'll be like, hey, this is really bothering me, and they will work somewhere completely different. And it's like, for example, this past time that I've gone to PT, one day I came in and I was like, dude, the bottom of my heel is killing me, like, underneath. It feels like I'm walking on a rock. The best thing we did was Graston down there, and it usually helped relieve some of that feeling for a while. And she's like, okay, yeah. We go into it. She massages the upper calf. Graston's around the incision, in the posterior aspect of the calf, like, never touches the bottom of my heel.
Like, at all?
At all. And it's like, at that point in time, it's like,
maybe, okay. Maybe she just forgot.
Well, there's that, but I'm like, do you listen to me? Like, I don't feel like I got any benefit out of there because my chief complaint wasn't listened to. Do I really trust that you're going to listen to me next time? Not really. Like, I'm now going to go into the next session very apprehensive, or if you're even my way, not go back.
And I feel like the flip side of it too, when you do listen, because I've had a couple patients where I'd walk in and just listen to kind of
the frustration,
everything that's going on. Yeah, yeah. Their frustrations and kind life. Of what they're going through. And sometimes even before I even start my treatment, and they'll, like, sincerely thank me and be like, thank you for listening. Like, that's sometimes all they want, because they'll go into doctor's offices and you're in and out.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, like, they'll just ask you 5 questions and call it a day.
They get to feel like they're a person there. And if you treat a person like a person, automatically there's a sense of trust that you do gain, where if you're coming in and you're treating that person like a number, they can feel it. They can feel that they're just another number and that they don't feel any different than anybody else coming walking in. So would you trust someone more if you felt like they were actually treating you, or would you trust them more if you felt like you were just being a number? To me, it's a no-brainer. Like, you're going to trust someone more if you actually feel like you're getting treated. versus just brushed over.
At the same time, I feel like it makes you a better therapist, mm-hmm. because you're able to address their concerns. If they tell you, "Oh, I'm having a hard time lifting above," or let's say their neck, let's be specific, but if they're having a hard time lifting their arms above their shoulder, then you can get into why that's happening. Because mm-hmm. if you just brush it off, okay, let me just work on your neck and call it a day. Like, yeah. See, are they tight somewhere? Is it a lack of strength? Is it a restriction somewhere? So you listening will ultimately make you better.
Yeah, and I think another thing, too, is just being honest with the patient. Like, if they ask for something inside your scope of practice and being like, you know, I hear what you're wanting, but unfortunately I'm unable to perform that because this is not within my scope of my practice and I could get in trouble and my license get pulled because of it. Patients are more...
You tell them that part, too?
Your
license is in jeopardy?
You can't... If, like, I was...
I mean, I guess if they're being...
Yeah. If they're very, being persistent. I've had to, like, or if they ask, well, why can't you do it? Or da-da-da. And it's like, well, I'm not... Part of my schooling was not in that. And if I do it and, like, something goes wrong, I can lose a license because I was not licensed to practice that. And they understand it. I was like, that's why I don't have a doctorate in front of my name or behind my name, whatever you want to say it. Like, so I'm not a DPT. There's certain things I can't do. But, like, I think just being honest with them, is like the best policy too, because, like, if you know someone just consistently lies or brushes things off, like, have you ever wanted to be honest with someone like that? Do you ever want to just open up and tell them everything that you're feeling? Pain and frustrations
and they're life. Just spouting out nonsense.
Yeah, and the life for them, it pays a, like, it, or not pays, but it takes a toll on your recovery too. Like, it has shown that increased stress slows down your recovery time, because it can cause lack of sleep. It can cause, you know, other issues going on. And so, you know, if they're even more stressed, then their healing can't commence properly either, I guess you could say.
So I agree.
But, like, I know we took a poll on kind of Instagram and Twitter, and we had
you want to go into wine?
Oh, my bad.
Wow.
You just are agreeing with me. It just felt like it was both.
I just agreed to what your way to gain someone, a good way to gain someone's trust. But sheesh, I have my own too. Gosh.
Yeah, my way's the right way. I'm just kidding. No, there's so many different factors in this.
True. There's no right answer.
There's none.
Or, I mean, there probably are wrong answers, but.
There's not just one right answer.
That's much better, for sure. I put... kind of having confidence in what you practice, mm-hmm. as mine. If you're going into a patient and you seem timid or unsure of yourself, how is that patient going to feel?
Yeah.
They're not going to be okay with you treating them. Or even if they are, they're going to be more guarded or apprehensive because you don't seem like you know what you're doing. And that carries.
Mm-hmm.
If you're the first person they meet, then that might carry from you don't know what you're doing, then no one in this building knows what they're doing.
Yeah.
Because.
Totally true.
And I don't think that it's. Kind of mentioned to Laura earlier, like, I don't think it's a fake it till you make it, because you also don't want to spout out random facts that have absolutely nothing to do with why they're there. But if you know your stuff, then be confident in it. And if you aren't sure, then let them know that you will get them the answer that they need, mm-hmm. if you can.
It's that honesty factor kind of a little bit too within that confidence. Be confident in your honesty.
Yes.
In what you do know, like what you're saying, if you don't know the answer, be like, you know what? I'm not 100% sure. Let me find that out for you. And be confident in it.
Yeah. I've seen it happen. The reason why I bring this up is because I've seen it happen in a way where someone wasn't confident in what they were doing and it turned upside down real quick.
Mm-hmm.
Just because the entire feeling of trust was completely lost and the fact that they didn't feel like they knew what they were doing. And they were doing everything right. It's not like they were performing anything wrong or ranging them wrong or anything. It was just a lack of
the fear. Confidence. They can see the fear in their eyes.
They can smell the fear. They'll eat you alive.
Seriously. They really will. Patients will eat you alive if they can sense the fear.
I feel like it's different, too, compared to having those patients who know what to expect with therapy and having those patients that don't know what to expect.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say one is better than the other. Yeah. Because if they know what to expect, they're going to, like, if they had a total knee replacement 2 years ago,
and they're going
they got another total knee, they know what they're in for. So they already have their expectations of what you should be doing and what
and how it should go and how it should how go you and what they're gonna be treating them. And if you don't hold up to what their standards are in a way and you come in timid, then yeah, they can eat you alive. And the same thing if they're coming in for the first time and they're super nervous and you look super nervous, they're like, oh crap, do I need to be nervous?
Yeah, so it goes both ways, definitely.
So I think it all just depends. But like on the note of confidence, do you also feel like being open to take criticism is part of it too? Like,
I feel like if you can't take healthy criticism, mm-hmm. then that prevents you from growing.
I agree. And I feel like at the same time, that can also kind of create a boundary between that, like trust too, is if a patient comes in and they say, hey, you did some soft tissue on me and that really hurt last time. And you get all defensive and you just start to defend what you did in a way versus like taking it and be like, okay, well, let's try maybe something different or going a little lighter. And, you know, like we talked about listening and taking in truly how they felt, then yeah, I think that that also can cut a wedge in that boundary. So like you need to be confident in what you're doing, but at the same time, like you said, being open to receiving constructive criticism, not...
Wow, you suck.
How's that like, helpful? That's not going to help anybody at all. And so, like, I agree with you. I was just curious on, you know, it's weird. It all kind of plays a part. Like, there's not, what we said is there's not one right answer. There's not, like, all these usually will intertwine with each other and everything like that. And so, just keep that in mind. But should we go to some of our Facebook answers?
Yeah, so we're going to bring up a couple answers that we got from Facebook. First, thank you so much for posting. Mm-hmm. It gives us a little bit more to talk about because we're going to kind of dive deeper into what it means to us for what you guys responded.
Yeah.
But the first one being gaining common ground between you and your patient.
Yeah. I think that's totally true. Gaining that common ground sets up a foundation where... you both have kind of that mutual respect for each other. And then also that mutual respect has, you know, comes with a little bit of that trust factor too. So by finding that common ground with them, you know, you're setting up a great foundation.
And I don't even think it has to be like, therapy related.
No, basketball. I use sports golf. Teams all the time.
I use golf all the time too.
You and golf.
A lot of my patients golf.
Oh, I know they do. A lot of them do.
I
bring that up with my husband. You don't even have to be in it. I would say how my husband's into golf, and that starts usually a common ground.
But that usually opens doors.
Yeah.
Once a patient can talk to you more on a kind of like a friendly manner versus like a professional manner,
mm-hmm.
then it helps them loosen up, be more at ease.
Well, they feel that more human connection versus that number connection.
I agree, because you have something that you can...
Yeah, like you're
taking that time to get to know. There are some patients, though, that just really don't want to talk to you.
Yeah.
And it's like pulling teeth.
Those ones you just have to read.
Did you watch any movies recently? No. Do you play any sports? No. So where are you from?
Sometimes it's the worst.
Oh, born and raised? Yep. Where'd you go to school? And it's like, dude, this is so dry.
How much am I going to know about your life?
Yeah, if I just go through, I hit everything in the book.
You know who I feel like is the worst at first with that, honestly? And I think it's because they're nervous and they don't know what to expect. And they're just like, I don't know. Really would say, yes, nervous. It's usually the teenagers. Anywhere between junior high and high school, I feel like the very first couple ones.
The first couple are brutal.
They're kind of like, exactly like that. Why am I here? How's school? It's fine. What are you doing right now? Nothing. Do you play any sports? Yeah. Okay, what so kind of sports? Yeah, which sports
do you play? So sometimes like, it is pulling teeth, but if you are able to find some common ground,
you can find something,
then like, it will go a long way, especially yeah. for those patients.
And I'm not saying all of them are like that. We just, it's kind of that awkward stage in life. And then
you, I mean, you get some adults that don't want to talk either.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just like, all right, I'll just be in here and do my thing, and then I'll leave you alone. Don't
sometimes
worry.
Sometimes I like that, and then sometimes like, I hate it. True. Sometimes
it's nice. I'm like, cool, I'm going to this patient. I ain't got to talk.
Yeah.
Sometimes I get tired of talking. But you know, the bright side is you can have the same conversation
over and over
multiple
again.
times in a row. So by the end of the day, you have it like well versed.
That, or you're like, what did I talk about all day? Oh, wait, the same thing.
Yeah, it really dude, is the same
so thing. So when all my day. Foot, on a side note, when my foot was happening and I was treating in a boot or, you know, boot and cane type mm-hmm. situation, my whole entire day was a conversation around my foot. It wasn't even led by me.
They're just like, what happened to you?
That, or you look like you need to be in therapy. Like, it was always around my foot. And I'm like, so by the end of the day, I'm like, I'm so sick of this foot. It hurts. I'm annoyed about talking about it. Let's just chop it off. But so it was kind of funny how that could happen. But yeah, anything else on that one you would like to add?
No, that was pretty much it.
So our next one was, people don't care about how much you know until they know you care. Show empathy, compassion, and invest in their problem. And
investment.
Invest
sounds more sense, but go ahead.
Yeah, okay. In their problem, and you will earn their trust. Once you earn it, you have to maintain it. It can be fragile for some. That is a great point.
Yeah. Like, I didn't think about that too much.
Right? Like, we kind of talked about the stuff that they had mentioned prior, a little bit earlier, kind of mixed in with the compassion, listening, get to know them, take care of the person, not just the problem. But that's a great point. Like, just as much as you can earn that trust, you can lose that trust too.
Yes.
So maintaining that healthy relationship is so important throughout their treatment, and even sometimes after their treatment too. I can tell you, I've literally had a patient where it came to mind one time, and you know, they got discharged or something like that, or they hadn't been in for a while because they were having surgery, and literally picked up the phone and just said, "Hey, how you doing?" Called them, you know, it wasn't busy, and I just said, "I wanted to check in. Is everything still going on okay with your, you know, this?" And it wasn't out of place because of the fact that, like, you're just being human compassion, and you never know. Sometimes they'll be like, "Oh, you know what? Actually, I've been meaning to call you guys. I got cleared to come back to therapy," or, you know, and that trust, like, they're very grateful for, and that trust continues to build. So when they do come back in, they're like, "You took the time to, you know, kind of maintain that relationship in a way," versus just that number aspect, I guess, if that makes sense.
It does. It was like the way I'm thinking of it too is like, I just recall specific scenarios where it starts off great.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the patient seems like they trust you, everything's going well, and a couple things happen, whether it was manually or exercise wise, and the patient's like, "No, I was in so much pain after that one visit, and I don't want to come back." So following into like your follow up, like giving them a call, checking in with them, seeing mm-hmm. how they're doing. Like, it shows that extra mile, like, "No, I do care. Let me address it and find a way to almost like regain their trust."
Yeah. It's like you're not just doing it just because that's what's in front of you in a way. You're doing it because you actually care. And even if that means like, oh, they were sore or it didn't go as planned, it still shows like, "Hey, I'm willing to fix this. Like, I want to work with you to help you get better." And like, I think that aspect a lot makes a huge difference.
I mean, you can, and that kind of goes both ways too. Like, we can only help them as much as they want to help themselves.
Oh, definitely.
Kind of the whole, which was funny because we brought it up, the whole, you can take a horse to water, but they can't make them drink it.
Mm-hmm.
Have you heard of that?
Oh, yeah. So you can lead a horse to the water, but you can't make them drink it.
So we mentioned that, the analogy, right?
Yeah.
At work, and everyone's like, "Wow, you're that old," and I'm like, "That's an old saying." I mean, I guess it's an old saying.
Gosh, am I that old?
I didn't think that's like old. That was like an old person thing to say, not I don't know. It was just a funny moment. but I mean, the concept still stays the same. Like we can help patients as much. We can give them all the tools. We can give them all the help.
Home exercise program. They can literally have trust in us.
And it still won't work out if the patient doesn't want to do it themselves.
Yeah. At some point, trust will take you only X far. Patient has to be motivated themselves to improve and that kind of stuff. And with that, like, it's not always you just know that. Sometimes, like, for example, personal things. I have dragged my feet on certain things with, like, my foot getting redone because of the fact that I'm more scared that I'm not going to figure out what's wrong with it. And so sometimes, like, you have to play that in a factor. It might not be you, but it's other things, like, holding the patient back. It might not be the trust. They might have trust in you, but other things are holding them back. And that's where that communication and listening. And if you can kind of peel those away, you can figure out what area you need to work on with the patient. And you might find trust is one of them. That, you know, they don't trust in the process. They don't trust in you. They don't trust in the facility. And it's like, okay, well, how can we fix this? How can I gain that trust? And so, you never know.
And they'll keep the patients coming back.
Yep.
Because if you don't figure that out, then they'll be there for a couple days and...
Bye.
Bye.
Like, would you go back if someone's, like, did something wrong to you?
Probably not.
Yeah. And it's worse kind of being in this field. Not. Like, I don't know. Like, for me, I will go see a doctor and my husband will laugh because he's like, oh, how'd it go? And I'm like, I'm not going back. Like,
true.
A doctor, I'm not going back. I don't trust him. I didn't like anything he said.
Yeah, first impressions are so big, too.
Yeah, like, I have literally gone to an ortho doctor, not just for other, like, for other things, too, not just my foot. But, like, I've gone to an ortho doctor, and right away, surgery came out of his mouth. And I said, bye. And I didn't go back. Because to me, like, yeah, pulling out surgery as a first option is not how we're going to go.
And unfortunately, some doctors are like that.
Yeah, and so, like, to me, right, all he had to say was one word, and I don't trust him. Like, to me, that was it. And it might not be the intention or anything like that, but, like, you definitely have to kind of go in with gentle feet. And some people like to hear those more aggressive approaches, and that's fine. You know, trust is a two-way street. You got to trust the patient as much as they also have to trust you at the same time. So, I don't know. Hopefully that all made sense.
It did make sense. That's pretty much all I got.
Yeah, so I know kind of today was a little shorter episode. We kind of want to talk about it and...
kind of touch on a few things considering our last couple were...
A little bit longer, probably.
A little bit longer, so...
But...
We'll keep this one short and sweet.
A little short, a little mini picky-upper, I guess you could say. But yeah, happy Friday, guys. Or Saturday, Sunday, Monday, sorry. Tuesday.
Yeah, ends in day.
Happy hump day Wednesday if you're listening. And Thursday, you're closer to Friday, and then happy Friday again.
Why be the next Friday? But thank you so much for listening. We still have the question up on Facebook, I believe. So feel free to just kind of post there and add to it if you would like to.
Yeah, and then don't forget to follow our Facebook join our Facebook group. Also follow us on Instagram. You'll see a lot of our polls go up there too. And then also follow us on Twitter. I'm missing any.
No, as far as social goes. And then,
just to learn more about, like, the things we've talked about during the week for some of the pathos, don't forget to check out our YouTube videos as those are going back up. We're trying to be consistent with those. So continue to follow for updates. And they're a little
different. So if you guys enjoy the newer format,
let us know.
All right.
And Lily will talk to you guys in a couple days, hopefully.
Hopefully. All things good.
But, all right, guys. You have a great day.
Bye. Bye.
The information in this video or podcast is not intended nor implied to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. All content, including text, graphics, images, and information contained in this video or podcast, is for general information purposes only and does not replace your professor's or a consultation from your own doctor or healthcare professional.